Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
All right, there is so much for us to get into. Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much. It is the drive. We have so much to discuss and talk about. You know what? Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. We won't spend too much time on it. I do want to talk a little bit of football. I want to talk about Houston. I want to talk about the Jets, the Chiefs. It kind of feels like a bye week, even though it's not a bye week and they play on Monday. It's always a little bit different when they play on Monday as opposed to playing on Sunday. Rob earlier today started playing Christmas music. Now, maybe I am just becoming old and I just need to accept it. And I always say that old age is a blessing that not everybody gets to have. So you know what? I'm not complaining about getting old, but I'm starting to realize that my takes and my opinions are starting to change as I'm getting older. This is what I mean. When I was a kid, we had 12 days of Christmas. Christmas started on December 1st. Maybe you would turn on ABC Family and you would watch your favorite Christmas movies. You would listen to your favorite Christmas songs. You would get a good 3 weeks of Christmas. You know, you would look at the Best Buy ads or the GameStop ads or whatever store you like. Christmas is incredible. It's the best time of the year. Now, I don't know what's happened over the course of the last 4 or 5 years or so, but Christmas has now taken over the final 2 months of the year. We just start the second half of the year earlier. We used to didn't drink pumpkin spice flavored things in the end of August. No, that was an October thing. From October 1st until October 31st, go pumpkin crazy. When do we celebrate just regular old fall anymore? It's either we're getting ready for Halloween or we're getting ready for Christmas. When do we just celebrate the fall? Rob's already listening to Christmas music. Rob's telling me that he's putting his Christmas tree up this weekend. It hasn't even gotten cold yet. You're telling me that you're putting your Christmas tree up the same weekend as the American Royal? You don't think that we're pushing it just a little bit? Why does Christmas need 50 days for us to celebrate? Why does it need 55 days? Why does Christmas need to be a 6-week activity? Christmas is longer than the NBA playoffs. Christmas is longer than the baseball playoffs. It didn't used to be this way when we were kids. We got to get back to tradition. We got to get back to old school values. You want to know when Christmas starts? After the Cowboys game on Thanksgiving. That's when Christmas starts. Christmas starts after you leave the plaza on Thanksgiving night and they turn on the lights. That is the official start of Christmas. Not after you get done trick-or-treating. No, that's not how this works. You don't go from watching Scream to Elf on back-to-back days. There's some gaps, some time in the middle. We got to get back to celebrating Thanksgiving and just celebrating regular fall. That's what we got to get back to, regular fall. That's what I'm here to bring back. Bring back the old school, the 90s, the 2000s, when we used to celebrate this. Why are we doing this? Rob, you like Christmas music enough that you want 6 weeks of it? You want to hear Last Christmas I Gave You My Heart for the next 6 weeks? No.
I mean, you're going to hear it 500 times anyway. Might as well get it out the way. Here's the deal. Let's be honest about November. It's just in the way.
Oh, my goodness.
It's we have, as a society, we've been sitting on our hands from November 1st to 28th being like, man, I can't wait to celebrate Christmas. And it's just a churn. It's a waste of time. So you know what? Let's just fast forward. But we can't fast forward. That's not how society works. So let's just stretch the season and let's encompass a month that serves no purpose other than just to make it a second month of the Christmas season. I was adverse to this at first. But you know what? I have seen the error of my judgment. November 1, welcome to the holiday season.
Someone on the text line says, unfortunately, my family has already put our Christmas tree up. Somebody else says, we're putting our lights up and we're watching Die Hard tonight. What? I'm saying, you got 6 weeks of Christmas in you?
You know what those people
you
are?
Can't talk
married.
To me. You can't talk to me about how long the NBA season is if you're starting Christmas today. You can't talk to me about how long it is. I don't want to hear that baseball plays too many games if you're starting to celebrate Christmas on November 1st. I don't want to hear it from you. No.
We need 162 days of Christmas. We don't need 162 games of baseball.
That's too much.
What's 162? Let's do the math. 162 days? That's half a year. Thanks. July 1st. July 5th. Pop that tree up.
Text line 913-586-7965. You guys let me know where you are. I just want us to have a regular November. Now I feel like I'm the bad guy. Looking at the text line, I feel like I'm the bad guy here. I'm the bad guy for just trying to give us 1 month of Christmas. I'm cool with Christmas. I'm cool with treating Jesus' birthday like your wife's birthday. Your wife gets a whole month. That's fine. Hey, if you want to start celebrating Christmas on November 27th, have at it. Have all the Christmas you want. Put your tree up. Put the fake snow outside. Put Frosty up with the corncob pipe and a button nose. I'm all here for that. Why are we trying to extend the season? It's too much. I just want to say that it's too much. I can't do it. I won't be a part of this. Christmas does not start in my family until after the Cowboys game. That is when Christmas officially starts in my home.
I'll say this. That is spoken like someone who wanted to put outside lights up. Because let me tell you, the minute there's a crisp in the air, it's terrible to put outside lights up. So you know what? It's going to be like 70 in a few weeks. I think next weekend, the high is like 65, and there was rain in the forecast this weekend. Next weekend, 65? That's a great time to get those lights up. May not have to turn them on, but I don't have to be bundled up 9 layers deep to put Christmas lights out. That is called forward thinking. And then flip them on like the 15th. Just get in the mood.
Let me just go ahead and get my other old person take out of the way here. And this one is actually sports related. So for those of you, the Let's Talk Sports person, I'm going to make sure you're happy too. I don't know if you guys saw what happened in the Jets game. I still don't know that gentleman's name. Who's that guy's name?
Malachi Corley.
Malachi Corley. I had never heard of that gentleman before yesterday, and I hope to never hear from him again. If you were watching the Jets game yesterday, and I kind of had one eye on the game, one eye on all the Halloween festivities. The Jets scored a touchdown. Wonderfully executed play. Little end around, little reverse, caught the Texans off guard. He went basically with the police escort to the end zone. He dropped the ball before he got to the end zone. Not like he got hit and fumbled the football. No, you know what I'm talking about. I'm about to score, but the ball is at my waist. I'm going to drop it and then celebrate. I scored a touchdown. This is what I want Commissioner Roger Goodell to do. You know how we can suspend guys for conduct detrimental to the league? That's what we should suspend guys for. That's conduct detrimental to the league. You know how when people argue, what am I going to tell my kids and how you're setting a bad example? I can't think of a worse example to set to the future football players of America than you are about to score a touchdown in the NFL. But celebrating the touchdown is more important than anything to you, so you drop the ball as you are about to score. This counted and resulted in a touchback yesterday. So you went from scoring a touchdown to causing a turnover and giving the other team the ball on the 20-yard line. I'm telling you right now that Roger Goodell should start. If you do this, it is conduct detrimental to the league. This is the wrong example to send to children. There are kids that play high school football, that play college football, and we need to set a better example in the pros. Start fining them. $100,000 and or loss of a game check, and you're also suspended for the next game. I never want to watch another game in which this happens. I thought after we saw this, 15 years ago, you would think that that would be the lifelong lesson that these football players would need. Nope, they still keep doing it. I saw it happen in college football a couple of weeks ago. This is not me anti. I don't want you to celebrate. Get in the end zone. And as long as you are not over the top or inappropriate, I don't care what you do. You want to go in there and you want to do the 1-2 step. You want to do the boot scooting boogie. Have at it. You want to go up there, you want to spike the ball and do the cabbage patch. I think the rules are a little too strict. If you want to use the pylon as a prop, sure, have at it. If you want to do a 360 windmill off the post, great, do it. Just hold on to the ball. That's all I'm asking, people. I don't want to spend the entire 5 o'clock hour complaining, but it's a lot of nonsense going on. You're celebrating Christmas on the 1st of November, and guys are walking into the end zone without the football. It's a lot of nonsense going on, and we got to speak on it. All right, Rob, let's get to the hits.
It's 5 o'clock, and your wife has tuna casserole ready for you at home. Might as well get caught up on the biggest stories of the day in Kansas City with C-Dot and Rob. This is The Hits, number one.
Welcome to The Hits, are brought to you by Baker University, where graduates earn higher salaries and land jobs faster than any other university in Kansas. Apply today at bakeru.edu. Well, now that we've gotten all the old man takes aside, Carrington, let's talk
about...
Hold
on. That second take is not an old man take. That's just a common sense football take.
You hate celebrations.
Text
we
line
get
is telling me that would have been his first career touchdown.
That's true.
This nonsense. That's what it is.
Now that we're off the get off my lawn portion of the show.
Okay, that's fair. I can live with that. That's fair.
Let's talk about the actual game last night, Carrington. The fumble touchdown aside, the Jets still went out and beat the Houston Texans. Did last night show to you that the Houston Texans are not in the same weight class as the Chiefs, Bills, and Baltimore?
You know what? One fade the music down for me. And I want some different music for this hit. I want something with a different tone. I want something with a sadder tone. I want something that is indicative of this take, of this stance that I have. Because you know what? Let's go ahead and bury the Houston Texans Super Bowl chances. Right now, let's do it. Let's come together. Let's gather around. Let's hold hands. And let's pay remembrance and respect to the Houston Texans Super Bowl chances. The team that I just watched on Thursday Night Football is not a Super Bowl team. They are fundamentally flawed. They can't block. They can't block. And if you can't block, it is going to be very, very difficult for you to potentially go on the road and beat Kansas City or go on the road and potentially beat Baltimore or Buffalo. There are some fundamental problems with that team that are going to be the biggest reason of why they cannot win the Super Bowl. Did you guys know that C.J. Stroud has been the second most sacked quarterback in the league behind Deshaun Watson, so he will probably end up being the most sacked quarterback in the league? Did you also know that those sacks have resulted in minus 229 yards? Minus 229 yards. You cannot win that way with that many negative plays. You absolutely cannot do it. Houston is not a viable Super Bowl team. Now, can they win a weak division? Could they possibly beat Pittsburgh in the first round as a wild card opponent? Sure. That's possible. That, of course, it's definitely possible. Houston is not going on the road and beating any team this good, not with that offensive line, not the one that I saw. So, Houston, I hope that you can accept that you're going to win 10, maybe 11 games. I hope that you accept that you will probably beat the Broncos or the Chargers at home in the wild card round on the ESPN game that they also telecast on Nickelodeon. You'll win that game. Sure, of course. That second round when you play the real big dogs, the teams that can really win this thing, the teams that are going to go to New Orleans, that will not be you. You will not be a part of it. So I am here to go ahead and say our final word about the Houston Texans, that they have been eliminated from the Super Bowl conversation.
Number two.
Carrington, moving from the pro game to the college game, we got one massive matchup on Saturday, which is kind of the best game of the whole wide weekend. But Ohio State heads to Happy Valley. It's Buckeyes and Nittany Lions. Who is this game more must win for, Carrington? Is it Ryan Day, who is never good in these games? Or is it Penn State head coach James Franklin, who is somehow worse in these kind of games?
That's a great question. I'm going to say that this game is more important for Ryan Day just because the expectations are always greater at Ohio State than they are for Penn State. There is certainly more talent on Ohio State's side than there are on Penn State's side. I mean, Ohio State was coming into this as a national championship or bust, not playoff or bust, national championship or bust. If Penn State loses this game, the national conversation is going to be, well, that's what we thought. They're an underdog in the game. Penn State never wins this game. If Ohio State loses this game, we're going to start to have a very serious conversation about whether or not Ohio State is going to make the college football playoff. There's just not a lot of good games or good teams on their schedule, and they will have lost to the good ones. They lost to Oregon. They will have lost to Penn State. If you're telling me that your best win is a home win against Indiana, that's probably enough because you're Ohio State. But that resume for the Buckeyes starts to look real skimpy if they lose this Saturday to Penn State.
Number three.
Pretty and good. Really quickly, I mean, if you are Penn State, you're probably in with the win. It'd be very difficult to paint a scenario to me in which Penn State does not make the college football playoff if they beat Ohio State at home this weekend. So I know it doesn't say playoff game, but as we are heading into November, this absolutely feels like a playoff game in the Big Ten between two of the marquee brands, Ohio State and Penn State. I am actually taking Penn State to win this game. I'm taking them as a home dog. I think they've been the better of these two teams. I think they've been the more consistent team. I think this Penn State team is a little bit more explosive than some years past. I think they're better at quarterback, and it just feels like it's time. I've already envisioned it. A Penn State field storming after a thrilling win against a top five team. They finally get off the schneid, so to speak, and they get a big win. I think Penn State takes care of business at home.
It is rare that college football has two of the hits, Carrington, but that's the nature of the beast, and the Chiefs play on Monday Night Football. It is, like I said, outside of Ohio State, Penn State, kind of a dull weekend in college football, but you and I both know how the sport works. When you don't expect excitement, you get upsets of Palooza. What teams are you putting on upset alert for this weekend in college football?
That's a really good question. You can fade the music down, and we can make this the last hit. So let's look at it. Because there are five teams this weekend that are ranked and are going on the road to play an unranked opponent. So Ole Miss goes on the road to play Arkansas. Oregon goes on the road to play Michigan. Indiana goes on the road to play Michigan State. K-State, friends of the show, they go on the road to play Houston. Texas A&M goes on the road to play South Carolina. I am going to eliminate K-State from this conversation. I just don't think Houston's good. In fact, I think Houston is the worst home team out of the five. I'm going to eliminate Houston. It would be one of the biggest upsets of the season, in my opinion, if Houston beats K-State this weekend. I think Emaugh advances. I think they take care of business and continue on for Farmageddon against Iowa State. So let's go ahead and get that out of the way. I also don't think that Michigan can score enough to keep up with Oregon. Now, Oregon has played down to its competition, but they've kind of really started to hit their stride the last couple of weeks. I just don't see Michigan as a team that has absolutely no clue who their quarterback is. Donovan Edwards hasn't been nearly as good as we thought he was going to be. He's on the cover of the college football game. He's not even the starting running back at Michigan. He's the worst player they've ever put on the cover of the video game. So I just don't think Michigan scores enough to win this game. So I think Oregon wins. So to me, the question is between Ole Miss on the road at Arkansas, which would 100% eliminate them, Indiana on the road against Michigan State, and Texas A&M on the road against South Carolina. Now, maybe I am projecting my feelings on the A&M, but they feel like Southern Missouri. They feel like the team that has the expectations. You're going into this, you come off the big time win, and you won the game that you weren't supposed to win, and you are going to lose the one you are supposed to win. Can't you see A&M coming off an emotional home win, one of their biggest home wins in quite some time, and they lose on the road at night to South Carolina? We've seen this A&M story way too many times over the last 10, 15 years or so. The A&M that I know loses this game 9 times out of 10, especially against a South Carolina team that's been kind of scrappy, that's been kind of pesky in this regular season. So if I had to rank it, I would say it's South Carolina 1 in terms of ability to pull off the upset. I'm just not believing that Indiana is going to be 10-0 by the time they play Ohio State. So I would put them as second on the road against Michigan State. And then I would say Ole Miss, just because I think Ole Miss can score. So I'll give them a better chance of avoiding the upset. That's how I would rank it. I would say that Texas A&M is on upset alert, Indiana, and then I would have Arkansas pulling off the upset against Ole Miss.
I think that's a probably what the breakdown is. I think me and you are on the same page. Man, it just, it feels like, you said it earlier on the show, we talk about Mizzouing or the Chargers charging, or remember Clemsoning was a thing for the longest term. A&M is kind of in that
100%.
They all hang out at the same parties. They're in the same clique if this was high school. Those teams are all the Spider-Man meme, and we have not had that moment yet with A&M. Like, I wouldn't call losing Notre Dame on opening night that moment, because Notre Dame's a team that will probably finish 11-1, 10-2, and might make the college football playoff. But on the road against South Carolina after the biggest win of the season, a massive win against LSU with everyone pointing down the road to the rivalry renewed. It's Texas, Texas A&M. The whole college football world's going to have their eyes on that one. This feels like a massive lit down spot. Like, we had John Kurtz in the 3 Mile podcast on the show earlier today. Check it on the podcast page. And he was talking about how the K-State game has the makings of not just on the field, what could be an upset, because coming off an emotional victory, bye week ahead of the Houston game, Houston stinks, letdown factor. A&M has a lot of those things. Emotional win against LSU, bye week on the horizon. Now, South Carolina is not nearly as bad as Houston, but that's when college kids slip up. Road games where you feel like the world is yours, that's when the L starts to happen. So I agree with you. A&M feels like it's ripe for the upset. And story all time. Coach pops off in the post-game press conference, has to eat crow the assuming week.
Yeah, no, 100%, man. We just watch way too much college football. That if you and I made a five-leg parlay and we just took the ranked teams who are all favored on the road against unranked opponents on the road, that parlay is not cashing. One of those five teams are losing. I don't think it's K-State. I don't think it's Oregon. Man, one of those other three teams are falling. Maybe two out of those three teams are falling. You just got to guess who that team is going to be. All right, let's take a little bit of a break here. Coming up on the other side, Greg Olsen was on Ryan Russillo's podcast and discussing some of the quarterback issues in the National Football League now with we see Anthony Richardson get benched. We'll talk about that next. Keep it right here. It's The Drive on 96.5 The Fan.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Welcome back into The Drive. My name is Carrington Harrison. Happy to be here. Very happy to be here. Someone on the text line says, C-Dot, I'm not taking your advice after saying take Houston on the money line. I didn't pick Houston yesterday on the money line. I said the smart play was the Jets. I didn't pick the Texans, did I, yesterday, Rob? I don't remember who I picked, but I don't think I picked the Texans yesterday.
We kept saying on the show, Vegas knows, Vegas knows, Vegas knows, Vegas knows.
Yeah, I didn't bet the game yesterday. The text line, I got to fight these allegations. I was not advocating to take Houston yesterday on the money line. I didn't take Houston or either team. I stayed away from it. I didn't touch it. I did take Devontae Adams to score the first touchdown and got let down, but I didn't touch the money line yesterday, so I'm fighting. I'm trying to beat the Chargers here. I say enough wrong things. I'm not going to let you put wrong things on me here. No, officer, I did that. I didn't do that over there. I can't confess to that crime. I'm not taking a plea deal on that. All right, let me play what Greg Olsen had to say. Greg Olsen, I think he's the best color commentator in the NFL. Maybe I'm the only person that thinks that. I think Greg Olsen is really, really good. But he got demoted this past year. Makes sense. He lost his job to Tom Brady. That is not the first person to be able to say that. All right, so let me pay what Greg Olsen had to say. He was on the Ryan Russillo podcast, and he was talking about the quarterback issue right now in the NFL.
There is no doubt we have a quarterback problem in the NFL. I think a lot of it's man-made. Asking your quarterback to stand in the shotgun, catch the ball, and play and throw the ball every down is virtually impossible in today's day and age. But these guys don't learn to get under center. They've never taken an under center snap in their lives. Their entire lives have been 7-on-7 football. It's been passing offense. I coach middle school football here at my kid's school. Of the 8 games we played, 6 of the teams never one time lined up under center. never one time had two backs in the backfield, and never one time had a tight end. The best teams, they get under center. It's play action. The reason they're doing that is because it takes the stress load off the quarterback. So I think there is a developmental problem in the whole pipeline of quarterbacks from high school to college and then, of course, to the NFL. We want the entire game to be on their shoulders, and then we get mad when they can't handle it at 22 years old. You can't tell me that these guys aren't wildly talented. They need to be coached. They need to be developed. I just don't think as a league in general we do a good job of that.
I think there's a couple of different reasons why. Maybe this will just continue my old man theme for the show. It is not surprising to me that quarterback development has become trickier for the NFL as the league has gotten further away from running the football. The league has also made it harder for you to develop your offensive line. It used to be some of the best things that you could give your quarterback was a good running game, a great offensive line, a capable tight end over the middle of the field, a security blanket. We've kind of gotten away from those things. So if you want your quarterback to drop back and throw it 30, 40 times, and you're not going to give him the infrastructure in place to do that, yeah, it's going to be a pretty steep learning curve. I also think what has happened, there are some prospects that come in and they've played a lot of college football, right? Caleb Williams played a lot of college football. But there have been a lot of guys over the course of the last 5 to 10 years who had 1 year as a starter. They were all right in that year, but they fit the measurables, so teams reach up and go grab them. Trey Lance threw less than 300 passes in college football and was drafted in the top five. Anthony Richardson threw less than 500 passes in the SEC and was drafted in the top five. You're talking about guys that just haven't played a lot of football, and now you are expecting these guys who haven't gotten a lot of reps and live action. Now you're going to get that learning experience in the National Football League. Well, yeah, you're going to see a pretty steep learning curve if that's the case. You're going to see some of the struggles that you've seen with some of the young quarterbacks. So I think there's a lot of different reasons. I don't think there's one reason on why we've seen the quarterback struggling to develop the way that we have in years past. But I would say it's the run game, offensive line. I also think that the coaching cycle just moves faster before. If you're Shane Steichen and you're the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, man, you don't have 4 or 5 seasons to try to develop Anthony Richardson. If you don't start winning by year two or certainly by year three, the fans are asking for you to get replaced, and you're not going to get another opportunity to draft a quarterback. So you got to make the decision to bench Anthony Richardson to try to make the playoffs with Joe Flacco. Hey, we can continue some of this development behind closed doors, but we can't continue to try to give him those live reps. So I think we've just created a bad environment for some quarterbacks to work, and it takes a little bit of time. I have this opinion in the NBA, because the players are younger when they enter the league, that we think a guy's washed and he's 21 years old. Wait, he would have been a junior in college now at this point. How are you ready to just throw this guy away? Maybe it takes a little bit of time. Maybe it takes 3-4 years for you to develop Baker Mayfield or Sam Darnold or Ryan Tannehill or some of these other quarterbacks, Geno Smith. It just took a little bit of time for you to develop them. But because the coaching cycle and things move so fast that teams are just ready to throw these wide receivers away and then go burn and find another one, when you are leaving a lot of guys underdeveloped where you could have got something out of them if you had just shown a little bit of patience.
So I've been thinking about that take from Greg Olson for a lot of the day. And I'm going to join you in an old man take here. And that's fine. That's the theme of the show today. It's an old man Friday on the drive. He made the point that we are letting the kids down the development of middle school, high school, college. I think your point about training camp being less physical than ever is so spot on, because I would tell you college practices are probably less physical than ever. I would tell you college spring football, college fall camp is probably less physical than ever. I'm betting, I don't know, I don't go watch a lot of high school football, but if we polled offensive coaches of high school football teams, they would say, compared to 10, 15 years ago, offensive line play is less physical in practice than it was 10, 15 years ago. So when the offensive play and the physicality of practice has been down for their entire development. You know what we've done to cut corners? We've gone all shotgun. And because we've gone all shotgun, we've made it difficult on the quarterbacks. But I think that's a product of the physicality point you made. Offensive line is not developed the same way. So by the time a guy gets to training camp in the NFL, he has been through 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years of less physical offensive line practice. And you cannot simulate offensive or defensive line play without physicality. So when there's less physicality in practice at all levels, we now have to cut corners because you start to see it in games. You see more finesse O-linemen. And to cut corners, we stop going under center. So I wonder if this shotgun point that he made is a product of the fact that you just can't get in the trenches and teach offensive line play the same way you could 10, 15 years ago. So you have to go more shotgun, and it's detrimental to almost everyone except wide receivers who are seeing a boom in pay.
Someone on the text line says, "CDOT, with that theory, isn't that what we're doing with Sky Moore?" I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess I would argue with Sky Moore, I haven't really seen much of a flash or reason to think that he can be a capable wide receiver in the league. I also think wide receiver is just a little bit different in terms of like how you process information, how difficult it is to kind of come in and start. I mean, I've never held Sky Moore to certain, like, he's just not a helpful player at this point. Like, my biggest issue with Sky Moore is I don't know what his positives are. Is he a guy that you want to get a lot of volume to? Is he a guy that you want to use in the run game? Like, what is his role on this team? So I certainly understand the question, but I just think we've seen enough of Sky Moore. This is now year three of Sky Moore. I just don't think he's a very good NFL player. Like, even back in the day, there used to be guys who were bust. You know, I just think Sky Moore is just, he is an old school, traditional, he is a bust. You know what that guy looks like. You didn't need to see too much Snoop Menace to know, yeah, it's not going to work out. You didn't need to see too much John Baldwin to realize, yeah, man, that's not going to work out. That's what I think Sky Moore is. I think he's old. I think he's a throwback bust. That's what I think he is. It's an old school, just, now he's not going to help you. Sky Moore's going to be out of the league in a couple of years. He's not a consistent NFL player. And at that position where there's so many of those guys and the new crop coming in every year is as talented, it's getting harder and harder to keep those wide receiver jobs if you're a veteran like him and you are not producing at a pretty decent level. You also can't trust them on special teams either. You don't want them doing your kick or your punt returns. He can't catch. Coming up on the other side, Rob, let's do a six-pack for Sunday as we get ready for the NFL. Keep it right here. So drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison on your new home for Royals baseball, 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
Welcome back into the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very happy to be here with you as we close things down here on a wonderful, wonderful Friday. Rob, it's funny because I don't think this is actually a great week of college football. I think there's a couple of good games. There's a game here. There's a game there. I don't think that this is a great weekend of college football. But usually when people like you and I say that, there ends up being three or four just wild things that end up happening that make it a really fun, interesting Saturday of college football action. So we get a big game at 11 o'clock. And then after that, I think it's going to be kind of hit or miss. And you're going to have to pick your spots with what you think is going to be a good college football weekend. But that's what we have going on. Missouri is on a bye. KU is on a bye. K-State, they play Houston. It feels like they have a bye week. So, and the Chiefs also don't play this weekend. They play on Monday. So this is a little bit of a different kind of football weekend than we are accustomed to. But don't worry, we still have important weeks here to get to. All right, Rob, let's do this. Let's get through some of the top games on Sunday. As a lot of you are still going to be watching football, just not watching the Chiefs this weekend.
All right, Carrington, let's start with the game of the weekend. Start strong. It is 325 Fox, Lions, and Packers. That is probably the best game of any sport over the weekend. Can the Lions assert themselves the team I believe they already are and dominate and become the team in the NFC? Or do Jordan Love and co. trip up Jared Goff and Lambeau?
That's a really good question because I took the Packers earlier in the season when they were a slight favorite at home against the Vikings and they lost that game. I will say, if you are the Packers and you lose this game and you lost already to the Vikings at home, and if you lose to the Lions at home, you can go ahead and kiss your opportunity of winning that division out of here. You are not winning your division if you drop both home games to the other two teams that you are fighting with. I feel like the Lions are the right side to be on because I do think they're the better team, but you know that I liked Green Bay at the very beginning of the season. I'm torn here. I'm going to take Green Bay to take care of business at home against the Lions, but I don't feel good about it.
A game I didn't think I'd bring up in the Sunday six-pack, but alas, here we sit. Some news came across earlier today. T. Higgins and Orlando Brown Jr. doubtful for their game against the Raiders. I'm not going to ask about the actual game, but Carrington, if the Bengals lose this one, is their championship window closed?
Whose championship? I'm sorry, I misheard what you said.
If I'm going to say, with no T. Higgins or Orlando Brown Jr. potentially this weekend.
The Bengals? That's what I was confused. You said first you said T. Higgins, then you said championship window. It threw me out.
I mean, the Bengals were a popular pick.
A championship window? They're under 500. When was the last time the Bengals were over 500 as a team? Can we say you're in a championship window if you lost to the New England Patriots to kick off the season and you're 3-5? The Bengals wins or Carolina, the Giants, and Cleveland with Jameis Winston. What championship window? They stink. That's why you threw me off. I was confused for a second. I thought I was listening. I thought I heard you. And you said T. Higgins in championship. I didn't know what was going on. I was confused. I was disoriented.
We're going to look back at that Bengals run and be like, how did that happen?
That was a great run.
Great. Seems relative, but.
They went to two AFC championship games and went to the Super Bowl. They had a great run. I mean, they were up. They were up with 2 minutes to go in the Super Bowl. It was all right. Then Eli Apple happened.
Man, that is peak Bengals. How many times have they been up in the Super Bowl and lost? Basically every time against the Niners?
Oh, yeah, basically. That was basically the 80s.
Mm-hmm. All right, Carrington staying in the division for both the Bengals and Chiefs. Broncos and Ravens this weekend, noon on CBS in Baltimore. I believe it was Good Morning Football talking about how the Broncos can, with a win, show they are legitimate. Or do you believe the Ravens are going to reassert themselves into the championship conversation and dominate the Broncos?
That's a good question. I like the Broncos maybe a little bit more than other people like the Broncos. I do think their defense has been fairly consistent. I think Deshaun Payne is getting Bo Nix to grow. I mean, he won Offensive Rookie of the Month, which kind of surprises me. I honestly was a little bit surprised that Bo Nix ended up winning that award the way that he did. I do think the Ravens are just, they've already had enough slip-ups. I don't think you have three or four of those over the course of the year, so maybe last week was enough to kind of get them back on track and get them on the right path. I am going to take the Ravens to win against the Broncos. This is actually a really important stretch for the Broncos if you take a closer look at their schedule and kind of where they are. So they have on the road against Baltimore, on the road against Kansas City, and Atlanta in each of the next 3 weeks. That's a tough stretch. That's one of the tougher stretches in the league you could have right now.
I know you're on the Ravens, but does 9.5 seem like way too big of a spread all the things about those two games? Like,
I agree.
I know Nate Taylor told us earlier he's out on the Broncos. He laughed at the idea of being in on the Broncos. 9.5 is what happens when the Chiefs play the Panthers, not when you. 2, 5, and 3 teams play.
Yeah, I mean, that really goes to show you how Vegas feels about Bo Nix. That's the conversation, is that they think the kid stinks. 9.5 is a big number.
That is why we did our Friday parlay. I put the Broncos +9. The number's too big.
Big number. No, I agree.
The earlier you can get it, the better. Speaking of rookie quarterbacks, Carrington, surprising sneaky good matchup at 3:00 on CBS. Bears and division leading Cardinals. You were in on the Bears preseason.
I was.
They had the loss of the year last weekend. Like, coaching malpractice.
I was happy. I had the Commanders minus one.
Coaching malpractice, a quarter taunting the crowd.
Pumped.
Everything that could have gone wrong went wrong for the Bears. Do we see a cumulative effect and they head to the desert, or do they get things right against the division-leading Murray & Co.?
You know what? I think the Bears win this game. If there is any team that focus and attention to detail should have been at the absolute highest this past weekend, wasn't it that team? I mean, we just saw how good you guys could be. You went on the road, and you were about to beat the Washington Commanders, and the Hail Maryland happened against you. Replicate that this week, and you let's play a full 60 minutes. If there's any team that I think gets back refocused and gets back going, I think it's them. I think the Bears go on the road, and I think they win this weekend against the Arizona Cardinals.
All right, Carrington, pivoting to Sunday Night Football. Minneapolis suddenly has a new left tackle in Cam Robinson, but that is not the story. The Colts are headed to the Minneapolis with a new quarterback in tow. They were a team that you were in on preseason. They are 4-4 and very alive in the AFC playoff picture. Does Joe Flacco get the boys right, or does it keep taking on water against Sam Darnold and the Vikings?
That's a great question. You know what? I'm going to take Minnesota here. I'm going to take Minnesota. I'm on the fence because I do think the Colts are better. I think the Colts are a much more balanced team with Joe Flacco at quarterback. I'm going to take Minnesota. I think the NFC North is just, it's a very, very compelling division, and we're going to get a lot more clarity about it this weekend as the Lions and the Packers play each other. I had a lot of fun today. Hopefully you guys had a lot of fun today. We will be back on Monday, wall-to-wall Chiefs and Bucks, getting you ready for Monday Night Football right here in Kansas City. All right, I'm out of here. Have a great weekend. Don't put your Christmas stuff up. And
go ahead and knock that out. Good weekend to do it. Nothing but time.
You know what? I'm going to let Daniel Craig take you home.
Ladies and gentlemen, the weekend.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.